is from 2 Corinthians, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. We learn of the collection for Christians at Jerusalem, the Jerusalem poor, in which the Macedonians and others were supporting Jerusalem, and now Paul calls on the Corinthians to support the advancement of ministry in the gospel, a call for us not only to support the local ministries and missions of the church here, but everywhere. Hear these good words. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies need to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A little girl was being given a lesson by her parents at one of our area United Methodist churches about the importance of stewardship, the importance of giving. And so that morning they gave her a quarter and a $1 bill, and they left it up to her to decide when the offering plate passed which one of those she would give. And so they didn't check in, they didn't even watch, but after the service, they went on the way home, check in, and they asked, "So, dear, what did you give in the offering plate this morning? The quarter or the dollar?" And she said, "Well, my understanding, Mom and Dad, is that the pastor was teaching about being a cheerful giver. So for me to be cheerful, I gave the quarter." They kindly asked for the dollar back and said, "Maybe next week." We really don't know the rest of the story for these valuable teaching moments that we have as parents, really throughout our lives with people of any age, to teach about the importance of stewardship. A young boy at Union City, Tennessee Church, was being taught by his parents about stewardship. They didn't have a quarter, they had just a dollar, and they asked that boy to give the dollar in the offering plate again as the plates would come around. And so as he had the dollar and it came to, the plate passed and he wouldn't give it. And so before the plates would go all the way to the end of the aisle, the parents tried to tug on the dollar and he had it firmly in his hand. He wasn't going to let go of that dollar. Finally, he released it and they put it in the offering plate. And then the commotion started. All the filters came off with this young boy. He started literally yelling in the church, according to this report from this Union City church, "I want my dollar back. I want my dollar back." Of course, the parents were embarrassed. People around them were unsettled, coughing, embarrassed. And this continued throughout the service. The offering was received. The pastor couldn't help but use that as an opportunity, as a teaching moment for the adults. He said, "You know, we laugh about it and we're uneasy about it, but what about for our own lives? Do we say quietly or out loud, "It's my dollar. It's my dollar and I want it back"? Or maybe even, "It's my dollar and I'm not giving it"? So again, we know that really everything that we have of goodness, of love, of treasures comes from God, and ultimately it is not our own. We buy our ego, our wantonness, our loss of what is really need and what is luxury, start clinging to things. We hold back on giving that quarter, giving that dollar, literally or figuratively. We clutch to it. And so I ask, what are you holding back on? What are you clutching? What are you clinging to regarding financial stewardship in your lives? Sometimes the experiences beyond the church inform us or overlap or our giving within the church. So this year I was fortunate. My son gave me a birthday gift to go to the Cavs game. It was a couple weeks ago. The Bulls were home and they won. That was a good birthday present. So we went out into the parking lot across the street, and I thought I'd made it safely to my car, and it's busy. And this gentleman just popped out of nowhere, and he starts quickly telling his life story. "I'm homeless. My wife is homeless. My children are homeless. Can you please give something?" And he's got this bouquet of plastic flowers in his head. And immediately I'm thinking, not cheerfully, and I'm thinking reluctantly. And if this person asks me to give, I will be giving out of compulsion and not freely and generously. My son had already gotten in the car. He didn't see what was going on. But I went to my wallet thinking that probably I had a one or a five or some ones or fives. And I opened my wallet and there's two 20s. I'm thinking, okay. I pause, and you know, he's continuing with the story. I don't know if it's authentic or not. We're so caught sometimes in these situations in our lives where we're trying to discern quickly what is the will of God, and is this person being honest or not. We don't know the full life story, so sometimes we take risks. So I pulled out a 20, and I gave him a 20. I think that's the most I've ever given somebody on the streets. And I haven't always given, because I haven't always known. It's just a tough situation, particularly if we try to discern those situations on our own. But as I went back into the car, I'm thinking similar to that little boy, that little girl. I want my quarter. I want my dollar. I want my 20 back. Selfishly and wantonly, I want it back. You know, I've thought about that, and as we move into Stewardship Sunday and the wonderful messages that we've heard that I believe are guided by God and wealth in God and not wealth in material things, and the examples of how we are called to serve God and not wealth, and that truly where our treasure is there your heart will be also. And for that night and that moment, my treasure was in my wallet. My heart was in my wallet. And I'd forgotten about God to really guide me into those decisions, which aren't always clear. We trust, we step out in faith, if it's individually or collectively, and how God frees us of the abundance of what has been given in our lives. So what about your hearts? And where are your treasures? And are your hearts there? And are they guided by God in giving decisions? You see, Jesus and the Apostle Paul had a mindset and a teaching around giving, and it was this. If you take the common theme of what was emerging in the text from Matthew and from 2 Corinthians today, and that is this, I believe. Everything of goodness that we have received in life is a gift and treasure from God. And so we are to give to others those beautiful words that were offered to the ancient church at Corinth from Paul. To give to the Jerusalem poor, to give abundantly out of ministry, to give bountifully, to give generously, to give cheerfully and thankfully, finally, for the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. There's the center, the heart of our giving in gospel message in the epistle lesson today. And how does that connect to our lives with more language that we might offer consistent with the gospel message and which offered in the epistle? What is our mindset? Is it similar to Jesus and the Apostle Paul and those early Christians? Is our mindset and our attitudes, our beliefs about money and specifically financial stewardship, representative of God moments, God face, Christ in the other? What is your mindset about stewardship? Now, over the years, I've collected thoughts about stewardship and mindset, and they changed for me. But God and Jesus Christ, for the treasure that's been given in my life, ideally, these are the things that I self-challenge with and that I challenge you with to keep in mind as you think about financial stewardship and giving. We can buy into the mindset that we are to spend beyond our means or faithfully spend with God what God has actually blessed and gifted us with. There are different paradigms, and these offer good prayer and reflection. That what we earn, spend, and give is ours, or faithfully that everything we earn, spend, and give is God's, and that we are to share generously in Christ-like love with others. And I know that these things are easier said and preached than done. As I offer them for challenges for you in the paradigms of thinking in the world or thinking in the spirit of church life, of ministry in your lives. Stewardship is that we are to starve with a fear of scarcity, or faithfully that we can thrive with the joy of true abundance. Are you about a theology of abundance or a theology of scarcity? That offering our money and other possessions to God is merely out of duty and obligation? Or faithfully that giving results from generosity of the heart? That we are to listen to the wisdom of the world in earning and spending? Or faithfully follow the wisdom of God in focusing on what we can give? That stewardship focuses on the church's need for money? So many churches get caught in that. We do as leaders and as we model with those that we serve with. That stewardship focuses on the church's need for money, or that stewardship is about the Christian's need to give in response to one's relationship. That's the key word. It's that R word. Relationship with God and Jesus Christ and others. That should be what motivates and drives us in giving. That stewardship is simply a money-raising strategy. Or faithfully, that stewardship is a spiritually powerful truth. It's not a money-raising strategy. We're not a business, nor are we not a corporation. Are there business activities of a church? Yes, but first and foremost, we are brothers and sisters in Christ to give out of God's abundance in our lives. Preferably, that stewardship, again, is a spiritually powerful truth that as a church we are to emphasize, one, either time figuring out to do with shortages and budgets, I don't think so, or faithfully emphasize mission, purpose, and life-changing results focusing on unselfish giving. A tall challenge, but a good one. To live into giving patterns reluctantly or under compulsion, or faithfully that allow people to give freely, cheerfully, abundantly, and thankfully to God in a way that blesses people beyond measure in the name of Jesus Christ, that at times is indescribable. I revisit this list, particularly around the time and season of stewardship, but it should be something ongoing that I look at in my life and how I respond in the faithful paradigms of stewardship that are centered in God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, or centered in the world. And so we have a clear choice. You cannot serve God and wealth, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our mindset impacts what we do in stewardship. And so I offer good news. I've only been here a short time, only been here a few months, but what I readily see is the faithfulness of stewardship in this community of North Olmsted United Methodist Church, with your operating ministries, with utilities, with staff, with missions, with ministries, with outreach and our connection of what we do locally, regionally, nationally, and worldwide, as we are a connectional church, and I know that's challenging right now. And here's the key comment, because this is a sign of, if you know it or not, consciously or subconsciously or in spirit, because not every church is this way. I would say to the district superintendent or anyone else in authority when they ask about how is North Olmsted doing at stewardship, I would say when there is a defined need, we rise to the occasion. And it's true. Not out of practicality, not out of compulsion, not out of some pragmatic concern, but out of the faithfulness and the love and hearts that we share and witness and faith in the body of Christ. That's what motivates us to give. So if there's a need for youth, if there's a need for the pastor's discretionary fund, we could go on and on with the various needs and how structurally, like groups like UMW and others in the church, as they do the rummage sale, and then they prayerfully discuss and ascertain with what we receive and receive requests from the body that cheerfully ask, can you help out a little bit here? That's a body of Christ that has stewardship in a good mindset. And I encourage you to leverage on that. This is not the time, folks, to hold back, lest you be considering it. This is not the time to hold back and wait and see what happens to the larger connectional church. Because when we hold back and we're upset and we're disappointed and we withhold because of our agenda and our ego and our upsetness because people aren't doing what we want them to do, the local church suffers. There are other ways that we can make a statement, but not by withholding the money that, again, is ultimately God's in faithfully and abundantly building ministry. We don't know what's going to happen with the larger church. But I know some way, somehow, if we're a United Methodist Church or we're a community church, this body of Christ will sustain and grow and thrive. If you keep your mindset where it belongs, regardless of what happens, God will lead you in your decision making. For you are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. Scripture tells that over and over again. The fruits of our labor, the fruits of what God gives us and our labor with that we might give to others, of our time, our talents, and our treasures, with, as we say through our United Methodist Church vows, with our prayers, our presence, our service, our witness, and our gifts, all five working together in Christian community. Michael Slaughter, who used to pastor one of the fastest growing churches in the Midwest in Ginghamsburg United Methodist in Dayton, Ohio, writes this book, Money Matters, and I attended a couple of his workshops. But one of the key phrases around stewardship that he's lifted that I think is so important for us to think about here. God isn't calling you to release what you don't have. God is calling you to release what you do have. To do that prayerfully, to do that discernedly. So what happens when you do that? When you release what God has given you in Jesus Christ, you live and realize the fruits of your stewardship and our labor together, individually and collectively. We realize and come to life what's not just on a page, but what really serves well in ministry from the stewardship letter, our faithful journey, our five basic principles. You will invest in your youth. You will serve neighbors in North Olmsted and the community and the wider world. You will provide opportunities for people to grow in their faith. You will continue to welcome and nurture a diverse congregation who becomes extended family. And you will foster lasting personal relationships with others. As you prayerfully discern where you are and where you consider where you will step up in your giving. We offer options all the way through this. We offer not only a commitment to do that in worship, manually, with a card, with a check, but in this day and age, we offer an opportunity to do that electronically. And so in the card, you'll notice there's an opportunity to do that. There's no one way to do it, and there's not one compelling way to do it. And I'm not compelling you to give. I'm encouraging and inviting you to give. And that ultimately it's in that relationship that you have privately and quietly with God and Jesus Christ, but for your love for the church, that not just by our prayers, our presence, our service, and our witness, but by our gifts, we serve in abundance. And so I'm excited that I'm the newcomer on the block. I'm the new member of the family. I'm new to the church family of North Olmsted United Methodist Church, and I'm glad that you've received me, and then I can be part of this family together as we learn, as we grow, as we teach, as we model, as we challenge one another. It's not easy. And making financial decisions with God's resources are not easy. But as I filled out the card last night with Terry, we celebrate that we can give out of what God has given for us so the church and Jesus Christ can be abundant, bountiful, and continue to be generous in its ministries. We offer our estimate of giving card, and we give thanks that we're included. We're a part of God's family, and we're part of the church family at North Olmsted United Methodist. And so as we soon stand and sing together, I invite you to bring your gifts and then return to your seats.